Avengers Doomsday had the social media blaze. What do kids say nowadays? They used to say on fire.
They don't say blaze. They don't say that.
They don't say a blaze. What do the kids say? We used to say on fire. Or we probably still say on fire.
They would say. I don't know. Damn.
Something that's like hot is going crazy.
The funny thing is that we got kids and we don't know what they.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because Matt, he definitely has, like, he's got it down, right? Like, they don't use real words for anything. Everything is acronyms or first syllable of a 15-syllable word. So, like, he's got that down. But he'll also use, like, some of our old school lingo, too. But whatever the young kids say, that was what the internet was all about earlier today with Avengers Doomsday being announced. We already knew it was coming, but they announced like all the people who were coming back in what roles. It was like a really cool rollout, but it got me thinking when I saw it that some of this had to have been a pivot because of just how non-interesting Marvel has been since Avengers Endgame. You know, like we knew.
Sorry, it's tough. It's tough. I just texted him.
Oh, it's tough.
Tough.
Oh man, internet was tough. Like really
tough. Yeah, lit. They still use the word lit, I guess.
Still okay, use lit. All right,
I
lit.
I thought lit there was over.
Yeah. All right, no, they still use lit. Okay. So in there was lit, and it was tough. That shit don't make no sense either. God bless. But I got to thinking because I knew they announced Robert Downey Jr. a while ago as Doomsday. And we were like, okay, well, that's got to be a pivot because of where Avengers is at. And they brought a lot of people back too. So it got me thinking earlier, if you guys had a chance in the today is what it is, right? So right now, today is March 26th. The build to WrestleMania is what we are seeing. So we are going to just 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks to WrestleMania. If you could do a pivot to what they have done so far to get you more excited about WrestleMania, what pivot would that be?
Standing on business. I want a singles match between the two out of the three people I'm about to name, Seth, Roman, and CM Punk.
So that would be your number one pivot.
Yep, because I'm 10 toes down.
Okay.
You know, my pivot would be Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. But at this point, I feel like we lost so much time in the build for such match to where I kind of wouldn't want to pivot at this point. That's what we always wanted. That's what we thought last year. We were going to get this year. Outside of that, man, I mean, honestly, I wasn't expecting quite. I don't know what they could do, honestly, to make this show more worthwhile. I know we talked about it collectively and, you know, online people were saying this is like one of the worst bills and et cetera. And I know, Matt, you were like, give him some time. And I was like, you know, is this some? It's not that bad, but it ain't that great either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they can possibly do to make this. This bill as years prior.
So I do want to talk about that as soon as we intro the pod, because I got some thoughts on just kind of that build part. So you don't have one. I have one. The one I thought about, it was twofold. It was one, because of what we've seen after 2 weeks, was I would have kept Cena a babyface. I absolutely still would have done Cody versus Cena, but I would have did babyface versus babyface. If this is what we were getting. And of course, that is going to be topic 1A for us is week 2 with the John Cena heel promos. We got to get into that. So that would have been the number one thing. The second thing I would have done is I would have had Bianca win the Rumble. So we could have got a proper build to Rhea and Bianca starting in January. And that could have been the main event of night 1 of WrestleMania. And my thoughts, I think the only reason why they didn't do Rhea and Bianca is because they wanted to give it a full build, have Bianca win the Rumble. But for me, if I had to do some pivots, that is realistic and it's, you know, you can kind of just make little changes and everything else would be as it was, it would be those two.
If I'm thinking about it, that probably would be where I was at too, as far as getting us, again, a singles match with Rhea and Bianca.
Because we've been watching this, so we know that's the other part of this too, right? Like, we are 3 weeks into WrestleMania and Rhea Ripley doesn't have a WrestleMania match. We know Rhea Ripley's going to be on WrestleMania. So there is no multi woman match you can put her in. There's not a tag match you can put her in. So even if there was not a rumor weeks ago about this being a triple threat match, our eyes and our ears can see where it's heading. So I still enjoyed the little segment they had on Raw Monday with the, you know, three of them and Adam Pearce, which he's hilarious. But you kind of know, like, all right, well, Rhea's going to be part of that. She has to, because she doesn't have another match. So that's some of it too. But let's get to the intros of this so we can get to week two, John Cena promo. And E, I need you to start this one off. Last week, you played the background for us. Now I need you to start this off, because now I need to know where I'm going to go on this podcast. I'm going to see if there's any way in the world we can have another pod where somebody got a difference of opinion. Because if we being truthful, there is no way in hell the three of us cannot have the same opinion about week two of the John Cena and Hill run. But let's intro the pod. Let's start. So this is the TFW podcast. Welcome, freaks, supporters of the show. You guys already know who we are. We've been around for a long time. We were debating last year. It's almost 3 years. We are Three the Hard Way.
Three the Hard Way.
Thank you, Mr. Knight. I am your host, Matt, joined by my fantastic co-host, Rhodesia right there. Eshan is right there. This is episode 193. 7 episodes until we get to episode 200, which is crazy. And we are still the best kept secret in wrestling podcast. Keep telling a friend to tell a friend, tell a family member. Check us out. We are wherever you find your podcasts. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We all over the place. All right. So, before we get to the Cena part, because that's probably the second part of the conversation of the Mania build. So, yes, we had talked weeks ago. I think we probably talked every week since, like, the last month, kind of about the Mania build. And I had tweeted out a few days ago, there was a lot of conversation before Raw surrounding the build is wrong. And there was a lot of people who were trying to make it seem like fundamentally what we're getting as a build for WrestleMania and the matches we're getting is wrong. And I just put a tweet out and said, just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's wrong or it doesn't make sense. If you look at the matches that they have announced or that we know are also slated for WrestleMania, and you look at just television, what they are presenting to us, it makes sense. Now, we can argue all day if you like it or not, right? Like, that's not the question when it comes to if something, quote unquote, makes sense. It makes sense. Now, some of the matches, would we have done something different? Absolutely. I think so. I thought it was interesting. We didn't watch Raw till earlier today, but Matt watched it live on Monday. So we were talking to him last night and he asked, like, hey, did you watch the John Cena promo? I said, not yet. I said, but got a couple messages that shit ain't as great as maybe people thought after a first week of what we saw. And I'm like, but I haven't seen it yet. So of course I'm a reserve judgment. I said, what did you think? And he was not on board in week two. And his reaction, his response was, because it seems like what he said, what they're showing him is not what he wanted in regards to, it seems like they're kind of slow walking the dog. Okay. So we kind of put just a button on that for now. So then I'm like, so what matches are you excited about? And he immediately went to Jey Uso and Gunther. And I said, okay. I said, why is that? His response was very interesting. His response was, because from what I hear, the internet is really dogging out Jey Uso, and I just can't wait for him to win and rub it in the internet's face. So then my direct response was, okay, so you're not excited for what they're presenting on TV. You're excited for real life stuff in the background. And he paused and he's like, actually, then yeah, I think you're right. I said, okay, so what else are you excited about? And he's like, I'm really excited about KO and Randy Orton for what they're presenting. He's a big KO guy right now, which is awesome. And there was another match, he said, but it was also like some real life elements to it. So, E, you brought up at the beginning of the pod, the Mania build. Now, at some point, we got to stop saying, hey, give it time, give it time, give it time, give it time. But these next 3 weeks of TV can completely change everything we're going to feel about WrestleMania 41 come that Saturday and Sunday. But with 2.5 weeks left, we talked on the pod probably about 3 weeks ago, and we finished it. Rhodesia went out sick. She, that was her flu game. But she just left an hour in. Didn't say bye or nothing. Just completely came off the damn TV screen. And I said, hey, what was our excitement level? I think I went with like a 9.5. E, you went with, I think you only moved up a half a point. Right? I think you went from like 7 to 7.5.
Something like that.
Right? Okay. March 26th. And Rudy's, I'll start with you. What is your excitement level for WrestleMania from 1 to 10? Strictly based off of what they are presenting to you on WWE TV.
I have to get clarification here because you and I got into a big fight about this question just a couple weeks ago. So are we talking about the WrestleMania PLE? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, we're talking about just WrestleMania. So take out the fact that for this question, take out the fact that you're going. Mm-hmm. Take out the fact that it's in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Take out the fact that you are going to be there for 5 days. Out the fact you're going to see John Cena wrestle in his last WrestleMania and that be the only reason why you're excited to see John Cena. What is your from 1 to 10 excitement level?
Unfortunately, it would still be really high. It would be like a 9, 9.5. And I say unfortunately because maybe we can come on here and talk about how they have rolled these stories out so far with only 3 weeks to go. But it is still WrestleMania. Just like how a lot of times we talk about maybe some of H's booking today, we kind of give him a little bit of a leash because the payoffs are usually pretty good. That's kind of how I am with WrestleMania. It's still the big pomp and circumstances. I know that I'm going to walk away from WrestleMania but like, oh, that was a hell of a night. And then the next night, oh, that was a hell of a night. So just already having that investment in me and as far as my excitement level, I'm going to say probably 9, 9.5.
What would have been right after the John Cena heel turn?
Unfortunately, it's probably about the same. Now, although John Cena and Cody is supposed to be the main attraction, this is who we supposed to have, the biggest that's supposed to end night two. But I probably still would have said the same thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can respect that, Rhodesia. I mean, I feel like you can't take like those elements away. Like you're going to be there, you're in Vegas the weekend, and I think all that kind of is like a package deal. I think it's like all kind of comes with it, to be honest with you. It's kind of like when we were talking about Seth Rollins and people were saying, oh, is Seth over or is his music over? Like, well, it's his music and it's part of the experience. Like people want to go and they want to sing his song and they want to do all those things. That's part of his act. You can't take that song and give it to somebody else and get the same reaction. It's not going to work. So I feel that. I completely understand that. For me, I'm still probably about a 7, 7.5.
Okay, so you didn't drop either then. You're kind of even keel also.
It is what it is. I mean, you know, we talked about do the matches make sense? I don't know if it makes sense. I feel like the question would be, are they the right matches that people really want to see? You know, like with the triple threat women's match, you know, we're kind of talking about, oh, this could possibly, you know, main event tonight because, you know, we don't have much interest in anything else on the card. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's, you know, and I don't necessarily think that the triple A match with that is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see a proper build between Bianca and Rhea. And why we didn't get that is beyond me. I don't know why we're not getting that match where that's the most I feel like that's what everyone wants to see. EO is cool. I love me some EO. Like she probably at one point she was like the most attractive woman in wrestling to me at one point. So like I love to see her in any spot. But I think the match that we really wanted to see was Rhea and Bianca. I think the match we really wanted to see this year was Rock and Roman. Something fell apart. We didn't get it. Now we're getting a triple threat match between those three. It just doesn't hit. The John Cena and Cody Bell, we'll get there. I mean, you know, hey, I said, hey, give him another week. Give him another 2 weeks, goddammit. I mean, like, wait till they get back to home soil to see what's popping. But at the end of the day, the problem exists, what I've been talking about the whole time with this build. This is WrestleMania. If this was like Elimination Chambers or this was Hee Haw in Seattle or some shit, man, like, okay, cool. I get. You know, we got 2 weeks before we get, yeah, they got some weird
that's
ass
some Hog Wild
shit,
WCW
man.
Type shit back
yeah,
in
the Hog Wild, you know, Blazes of Steel, you know, Asses on Fire, whatever. Like, right?
Great
like,
Balls of Fire. Just,
yeah. What's
one
that
of the great of all time, though.
Great Balls of Fire, goddamn it. I mean, who thought of that name? Probably Vince.
You know who talks. Was.
Hey, actually, we know all about, exactly. You know, Vince and his Great Balls of Fire. So it all makes sense. It's all coming around.
Goddamn,
but you know, look, if this was in all serious, if this was any other PLE, I get we got 2 weeks before and it can make magic happen. Okay, cool. But this ain't. This is WrestleMania. This is the biggest wrestling show of the year in the world. Not just in for WWE, in the world. This is their biggest show. The fact that we sitting here a couple of weeks before the show, you know, betting on them to make us give a fuck is ridiculous. Because we cared a lot more about these matches, and we, it was at least, like, maybe you didn't or someone didn't, but it was a lot more intrigue. It was a lot more interest in at least the top of the card, and it's just simply not there. Right now, what's exciting is that WWE is so hot, and we got Travis Scott, who we still haven't heard from. I don't know why he was there, and we ain't seen The Rock. We don't know nothing about what's popping with none of that stuff, right? All the stuff that got you interested in the intrigue, we ain't got follow-ups on none of that. But again, we got 2 weeks left. I think that's the problem. I think, like, this pay-per-view is a letdown in the build compared to what WrestleMania should be right now.
And that is perfectly, if I wasn't just, you know, trying to just put out, like, just a quick couple sentences, that is what my tweet, I didn't get into the details of it like you just did. That's what the podcast is for. But that's what I meant when I said, it makes sense for what they're giving us on television. Now, if you don't like it, cool. My personal score, right, from 1 to 10, I was at 9. And actually, I probably was closer to a 10. But I wanted to temper my expectations just a little bit because we still had like 6 weeks to go. I'm probably, if I'm only going off of what they're showing me on television, if I'm being completely honest, I've probably dropped 50%. So if I was at 9.5, 3-4 weeks ago, I'm probably at about a 5.5-6 right now.
Is that because the marquee match is not built leading up to or building up to what it should be?
That's a huge one for me.
Okay.
Huge one for me. But also, if we were to look at from that time, so that time was the podcast right after Elimination Chamber. Okay. We look at almost every feud that they've officially announced a match for, or it is trending to be announced on television. I can argue, outside of the Triple Threat women's match, I could argue since then, every match they have announced and have billed in the last 3 weeks, my expectations, or in terms of my excitement level, has dropped every other match. I could argue that. I wouldn't argue that with KO and Orton. I think they've done a really good job there. But absolutely with Cena and Cody. Definitely with Gunther and Jay until Jimmy came to the rescue. And we will talk about that too. Tremendous promo backstage segment. What else have they announced? Tiff. What other matches?
Tiff and
oh my God. And we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah.
Charlotte is dog walking my girl every single week. And I have a really good question for you guys.
Hey, matter of fact, hey, I don't know what you got on the doc, man. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it now.
I got okay, the don't be, all right, so before we get there, let's go to the Cena thing then. Because okay. Yeah, because that is the A block. So E, you kept telling us last week, this is kind of what you expected. Wasn't great, wasn't horrible. It was just okay. Let it play out. I think we all kind of said, let it play out. I was a big proponent of saying, hey, that was not good, but they already announced another face-to-face next week. That is when we're going to get to the shits that we thought we were going to get in week one. And I'll be damned if we did not get to the shits at all in week two. It was a copy and paste promo from week one. It was like director's cut. It was the cutting room floor stuff of what they tried to get out in week one. They couldn't get it out in week one. So they said, all right, just go out there and finish your long 45-minute promo for week two, outside of saying he's going to retire with the belt, which is a big deal. But the meat of the promo and where we are going with his heel run is in the exact same spot. Still no mention of The Rock. Still no mention of selling his soul. To your point, still no mention of Travis Scott. Hell, still no mention really of Cody Rhodes. Now, I'll say it again. Next week on Raw is his last advertised appearance before WrestleMania. We're going to assume and hope that next week on Raw is when we get finally to a verbal confrontation and maybe some physicality between John Cena and Cody Rhodes to sell this match as what it should be, as is one of the biggest matches in WrestleMania history. We are far from there now. So, Ishan, what did you think of that promo segment?
You know, I want to hear from the passionate people, but I'll go ahead and give you a little something. I didn't think it was that bad. You guys go ahead.
Hold on a second. We have not used this board in a very long time. I don't even know what to hit you with on that. Like, you don't believe that. In your heart of hearts, there's no way you believe that promo was not that bad. We just talked about this is supposed to be, this is night 2 main event. This is the biggest match of the year. Week 2 into John Cena's promo, you are telling me you walked away from that promo segment again saying, hey, that wasn't that bad, John.
You can't spell real without E. Come on, baby. What, go ahead and fuck, give it up.
I'm actually going to shoot Ethan Bell right here. I'm going to go in here and say that anybody who did not have a problem with last week's better not come on here, go on the internet, or anybody have a change of heart saying that, oh, it was so much worse. It was so much worse. I've seen it. It's the same exact thing. He still never connected the dots for me of why he turned in that moment when people were clamoring for him. Like, I'm about to get hot again on this. Like, there, I think you hit it perfectly. And we hadn't talked about this. This was like the director's cut. This is the extended edition of what we saw last week. I got my hopes up high. I fell for it. I fell for it because I heard the spoiler on the TFW pod that we're going to see another interaction with John Cena and Cody Rhodes. And then this is going to be what we really wanted to get. This is going to be that interaction. And all I got was an extended version of the first interaction. So anybody who thought the first one was good and that we tripping, blah, 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 they should have said, oh, this is the same thing. It's not the same thing. So, E, I give you props for at least saying, yep, nope, it was the same thing. It's all right. Because that's all it was, part 2 of blah, 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 blah.
It was funny, our YouTube comments, shout out to everybody who commented on the last pod. Love you guys. The majority understood where I was coming from. There were a couple people who say like, hey, I see what E is saying, but a lot of people kind of felt the same way I did with what was that. I did see a lot of that on social media today because I stayed in the bubble until I watched and I kind of just went back a little bit and looked at some hashtags and kind of saw what it was. And the temperature is, this is not enough. That is kind of what the overall sentiment is right now, is this is not enough with John Cena and Cody Rhodes. Now, once again, like I told Matt, so now after watching the promo segment, what I told him even before I saw it, I said, so then not to say that John Cena is trying to go out there and cut bad promos. What he told me, what he said, how he felt, maybe they're playing the long game. This is not what we wanted from a heel John Cena. What I said to him was, and this tells me there's a longer play at hand. So, meaning, evidently their feud is not going to be over after WrestleMania 41, John Cena and Cody Rhodes. And we're not getting to the shits until either intentionally next week, because that's the final build, or even after WrestleMania. And I think that's a slippery slope. But for him to come out and kind of do the same thing, you guys are making it so easy for me. It's like, dude, okay, the excitement level we all had after Elimination Chamber. And yes, it is still, if you want to talk about, is it working? It's still working because he got booed. We got the let's go Cena sucks chance. That's always going to be there, especially when they're overseas.
Yeah.
I mean, those crowds are crazy excited whenever they go out there. But it was a swing and a miss again for me. Now, my expectations were not as high as week 1. And we also had a couple of people in the YouTube comments that kind of asked like, hey, was it because you're expectations were really high. Not that, once again, my eyes tell me the story. My ears tell me the story. I know good shit when I see good shit, and I know average shit when I see average shit. Both of those promos just were not for what we saw. If he would have come back and turned heel without The Rock's involvement, take out Travis Scott. If it wasn't The Rock's involvement, if it wasn't after being a babyface the entire night at Elimination Chamber and then turning after you've already won, these promos are okay. They're cool. I still be like, man, I want more. But at least to me, then it makes a little bit more sense. That's the disconnect. You have yet to talk about that night that you turned. That is what we care about. So there's going to be a disconnection if next week he talks about that night. It's like, okay, well, where was that conversation at for the last 2 weeks? At this point, I think maybe all I'm asking for is a vintage promo segment of the year between John Cena and Cody Rhodes on the mic. I think at that point, that's all I'm asking for the final face-to-face before WrestleMania. Now, they're still going to have two or one Raws before next week. Two. I can't remember now. Is it two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're still going to have two after that. One is probably going to be a video package. Maybe he calls in via satellite or, you know, he does something like that. But for them to not even mention The Rock again, like I said, and just kind of forget that ever happened, and we're just spitting all of our hate toward the crowd who's been there for you, is just like, come on, dude. I need more. I need more for night two main event. If this was night one main event and night two has some type of grandiose plan for Punk, Roman, Seth, it feels a little different. If night two was, it's not, absolutely not, Tiffany and Charlotte, because he wants to go there next. Okay, still a letdown, but all right, it's on night one. Night two needs to be what we've seen night two be since they've gone two nights, and that is the biggest match of the weekend and of the year, and we're just not there yet.
I'm going to say this, and I'm being real with myself. I am being honest with the people. The first impression is the lasting impression. That's what I got. This is what I got on the follow-up. If someone said with Rhodesia, what can be done to make it better? Honestly, there's probably nothing. I think John Cena would have to actually look different, because although he said this is my last, the last time is now, so it's not like a never give up towel that he comes out with, his gimmick is still the same. So it's just a real complete disconnect for me as a fan, me watching him on TV. Like, he's about to now become uninteresting to me. And that is a place I never thought in a million years I would ever feel about John Cena, with me supporting him during Super Cena years. Like, outside of him actually looking different, I don't think they can actually do really anything for me to get me excited.
Rhodesia, you see, you're a grown woman now, man. You ain't that 15-year-old kid I met, you know, 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
you,
I like them bald, though. I like them bald.
Listen, you know, you put childish things away when you become an adult. That's what you're doing with John Cena. You're putting childish things away. So let me go ahead. I know you guys are passionate, because, you know, I feel good being the calm, collective guy of the group now. So I'll let you guys go ahead and, you know, get your rocks off and get hot. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to get on rocks air. To show up, but.
But, oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But, no, you hit it, though, with John Cena. The reason why I said it was fine. And so look into that. I said it's fine. This is John Cena turning heel. WrestleMania, it should be more than fine. It should be more than not bad. This shit should be fire. It's not. No, I give things time. I'm like, yo, all right, they want to establish the character. And so in week two, we're still establishing the character. So you think about it from a fundamental standpoint, you know, he's turning the crowd against himself, and the crowd is going ape shit for Cody. Like, right? Part of my issue, if they did a baby face thing, I feel like you're going to split the audience. And I just feel like, man, like, they got to post something with Cody. I don't know how this white meat baby face and 2025 with all these cynical assholes online. Well, there are cynical assholes online still chanting against Cody. But overall, in society, it's a lot of cynical people. And I might do. If you, it's like, if you do something, you might lose these people, right? They might snap out of it. Like, maybe they might realize they're not supposed to like this man. Like, right? You don't like a bit white meat baby face. It's 2025. So they're doing a great job of turning the entire crowd against John Cena. So at WrestleMania, you can cheer Cody, but we expect it more, and it should be more. You know, right? So we haven't talked about The Rock, and like, what's up with that? Like, right? We haven't seen, maybe his schedule isn't available for the next 2 weeks. Maybe we get him back when the States, hopefully. Like, right? But at the end of the day, if Rock can't play a big part at WrestleMania, I guess you don't want to play it up too much. But at the end of the day, at least tell that story. They got time, but this build particularly feels just like the WrestleMania event itself. And I feel like it should be a lot more than what it is. And they've had more than enough time. So we're talking about, what, a couple weeks ago, that this Cena turn happened on the fly. You know, Rock pitch, you know, Cody to do it. So now they're kind of booking ass backwards weeks before a Mania on something we see that should be much larger, right? Because I think about from like a planning standpoint, you know, even old, dirty, stupid Vince had long-term plans for these kind of things, right? He has stuff on the docket for months, right? Tony Khan has things he plans for months. Like, this is something that should have been in the background. WrestleMania should be a time, just like we talk about those CW sitcoms, to where this is the major threat that's been brewing in the background for an entire time. So when it finally happens at the season finale, you hop for it. And we ain't hot for none of it. This should be one of the things we should be hot for. So yes, the promo was fine. He cut a nice, classic heel promo. Shit on the crowd, get them to boo. Great. But man, we're a couple weeks and we should know more about why he turned. We should know what his motivations is. Yep. As Rhodesia said, I think it's a miss that he didn't change his character. I'm not changing for nobody. I get that in a perspective, but goddamn, you're so corny. But I guess it kind of makes sense because he's a corny dude. So now the illusion of that you're cool is all gone. You know, you're just, you know, old dude still trying to hold on to it, and you should really change your pants and start wearing bright colors. But it should be much more at this time point. You know, when they get back to the States, maybe Rock comes and maybe we get more storyline. But I don't understand why they could have planted seed starting, you know, on Monday for that. Maybe,
exactly.
You know, there's a lot of story elements they could have did in week two. Now, I showed them some grace in week one. Like, hey, all right, let's hold up. Let's see how this thing goes. But now as it's going, I feel like WrestleMania, we should have something that's better than not bad.
Now, I do think, so if you were to fast forward this pod to the week before WrestleMania, I do think I'll be back. What's presented on television? I think I'll be back to a 9.5. Take out I'm going, take out the Vegas of it all, take out all that. Take out if I was still sitting at home and just watching, I think I'll still be at a 9.5. If not, something catastrophic has happened with their creative. Because I can't tell you the last WWE PLE we were not excited for. A couple of them there, we were like, we know it's going to be good, but maybe this particular, you know, main event doesn't matter. Major PLE, we were here for War Games, even though we kind of thought like, damn, the whole Punk thing kind of felt like they shoehorned them in it. SummerSlam, we were absolutely here for, I mean, actually, a lot of their PLEs now are like, major PLEs, Money in the Bank, you know, we can go on and go on. So I do think they'll figure out a way in the next 2.5 weeks. We talked a lot about in Triple H, we trust. In Triple H, we trust. Triple H, you got 2.5 weeks to get us back to where we were the night after Elimination Chamber when you got on that press conference and said, there's a lot of talk about the WrestleMania build. You know, how's the road to WrestleMania now? It was incredible night after Elimination Chamber. We're hitting a couple bumps right now, but we'll let it play out again, but damn, is this sorely underachieving for me for what I thought we were going to get.
I don't think I've ever felt this. I know I never said this, but this is the first time like the part-timers, the non-full-time people like Rock and Cena, if your availability wasn't there, y'all shouldn't have inserted yourselves because this is like, to us, this is real to me, right? This is, we follow along and I understand your Cena versus Cody on that marquee. I get The Rock coming back. You're going to sell even more tickets. But at a point, there's integrity of the actual viewership, like what we're actually watching. And if y'all knew y'all weren't going to be here and or not be able to book the story right because both of their schedules might be super fluid, so things can change at the drop of a dime, then don't insert yourself. And this is the first time I've ever said this out loud, and it's probably the only time I truly ever felt this way too.
And think about what The Rock was giving us last year this time. Think about, he was damn near on TV every single week. He was cutting those 30-minute Instagram Friday promos that had us going crazy before SmackDown every single Friday. He gave us Bloody in the Rain, Cody Rhodes. He gave us unannounced. He just gave us so much. That he added so much to that build of WrestleMania. And we knew it during that time too. Hell, I think one of the topics we had was, does this change where he is on the all-time list? Does he move up even more because of what he's given us? So to kind of go from that, and I'm going to shoot him some bail because the whole reason why he's not wrestling is because he couldn't pull it off. To me, this is strictly Cena, because you guys could have, storyline-wise, made a perfect reason why The Rock's not there. Either because he doesn't think worthy of you guys to make this trip, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, they could have done so much. They could have done so much with the corporate Cena out there, with the phone, and The Rock is called. You know, like, they could have done just so many different things. So for them not to, it feels rushed. And that's the last thing, and then E, I'll throw it to you. We can go to Tiff and Charlotte. Last thing Matt said about the promo was, it felt like, he said, it feels like they were just told what is going to happen right before they came out to cut the promo. He said it feels like to him now, none of this was planned whatsoever. They literally just told Cena, like, hey, you're about to turn heel. You're out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go out there and cut a promo. And it does feel like, where is the end game? You brought up Vince. I was just talking to Rhodesia a couple days ago about, like, back in the day. We were talking about, because they announced, and shout out to Natural Disasters. Let's like give them a round of applause. Going into Hall of Fame. And I was trying to explain to her just like how big Earthquake was at one point. And he was John mm-hmm. Tenta in WCW. But I explained to her about how when he killed Damian, right, on Superstars. And then I got into, mm-hmm. and she asked me, well, was it different? I was like, well, you know, he had a new snake. But and then we talked about when Macho Man got bit, you know, by Jake the Snake Roberts on Superstars. We were talking about like those big just parts you'll never forget stories and storylines. And I say, like, as much as like Vince really fucked up, like kind of like towards his end was, you know, last 5 to 7 years was not great. But when he had to really show up for those main event angles for WrestleMania and just the main event angles for throughout the year, he hit on those more often than not. It was the rest of the stuff that was absolutely horrible. And it feels like on this one, not that he's needed, because he's absolutely not needed in pro wrestling, but where is the quality control?
Right.
Triple H said, I'm going to give John Cena the autonomy to do what he wants to do. He's earned it.
Which he has.
He has.
Yep.
But maybe if he has full autonomy, maybe this is why you don't have wrestlers book their own stuff and they need a sounding board, because it just ain't there. E, what you got?
Yeah, actually, you know, I have this same thought as Rhodesia, as I was going through my thoughts earlier. These part-time dudes, man, like, maybe they shouldn't be in these big moments like this. Because if Rock is only popping up, you know, once every other month, so you can't further the storyline. So now it's like, you know, again, I always talk about anime stuff, right? Like, it's like certain times during the show, they have what's called filler arcs, because there's not enough content to keep the show going. So they have filler content, and it's kind of eh. So with Rock, with John Cena, it's kind of, we're getting filler content. Like, these guys are stretching out material to wait for the next thing until these guys are available again. I think it really takes away from stories and the presentation for CNO TV. But for me, going back to the anime thing, like with WrestleMania build, like there's a show right now I'm watching called Solo Leveling. And every episode is built into the next one, built into the final episode, I think, which is next week. But prior to that, it's been a countdown after every show. Like, you want to see next week's episode, and I want to see next week's episode. Like, right. So I know I can appreciate them getting us in maybe a week before the show or whatever. But damn it, this is WrestleMania. We should be fiending for WrestleMania to see the actual card, not just the WrestleMania experience, but we should be fiending to see John Cena and Cody right now. We should be sitting on the edge of our seats to see what's going to happen next with Roman, Punk, and Seth. We should be sitting on the edge of our seat for this triple-way match with the women for Charlotte, right? That's my biggest problem and my biggest letdown right now. We talk about how great WWE is doing. There's a lot of letdown in their creative, and I hope they can fix it. But they probably, I feel like they're going to be fine, because they're riding a wave of popularity right now. So these mm-hmm. kind of creative things aren't going to mean much. But it's certainly a letdown. And and you got to think about, I think it's what you said. I think with the Cena and Rock thing, I think the inevitability of them mm-hmm. has really caused some monkey wrenches with the main event creative.
It has. And remember a little bit ago, I said, I felt like we started seeing a little bit of the cracks. and this is not doom and gloom, right? But maybe about a month ago, I said they got to be careful. We're starting to see some cracks kind of in some things that are not to make sense on TV. And if we remember, that's where AEW kind of really fell off for me, was they were rolling. And then some of the stuff just didn't make sense. And you're like, okay, well, it's so hot. Everybody's over, so it's cool. Like, they'll figure it out. And then it got to the point where, for me, the majority didn't make sense. And the majority was wrong, quote, unquote. And it's like, all right, now I'm out. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to WWE. Once again, they got 2.5 weeks. And I do believe if I had to bet some money somewhere, I'm going to say they're going to course correct the next 2 weeks. Now, the matches being the matches, right? The matches being the matches. So if you're not excited about Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair, there's nothing they can do in 2 weeks to get you there. If you thought you should get Charlotte Flair versus Io Sky, let's just say that. If you're not excited to see the next chapter of Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio, now looks like being pushed into the Bron Breakker Penta match. They're going to have some type of match at WrestleMania, if my money is right and me watching it for as long as I have been. If you aren't excited about that, there's nothing they're going to do to get you excited about that, because you think maybe it should just be Dom and Finn one-on-one. But if you're good with the four-way, they're going to get you excited for that four-way. I think we're all going to sit here the week before when we do our WrestleMania preview. I think the majority of the matches, we will say, all right, they got us now. Could it have been better? Absolutely. But they got us now. Let's see what they do with it.
Agreed.
E, you said you wanted to talk about it a little bit. I wanted to hit the scene apart first. What was your thought, sir? First time I saw the promo segment was online. Saw it on X first. So then I rewatched it last night to make sure my thoughts were the same. Charlotte versus Tiffany Stratton. Give it to me.
What a hot mess. What a hot fucking mess, man. And you know, in watching that segment, and again, I don't want to put my professor cap on too many times on the show. I'm just a regular guy. But you can't spell real without E. And I said, Charlotte is going to be too much for Tiff. And she's too much for Tiff. She's too much for Tiff.
We said that, yeah, when she first came back.
Way too
much. And I like, I don't want to see the match because it's going to make it apparent. Like, right now, Tiff is too young of a character. Right? And she's still kind of growing within her role to really go up against a Charlotte Flair who's such a fucking dominant character. She's just like Triple H. Like, she's so confident with, like, that's, I don't know Ashley Flair or whatever her real name is. I don't know Ashley. That woman. But I know Charlotte Flair, right? This character is established. Like, you can tell the woman behind this character knows this character inside and outside. And if you don't have a strong enough character to go up against her, she's going to eat her up. Just, like, her arrogance is beyond. Like, right, her arrogance and everything is just beyond. And it was on full display in that segment. Like, Charlotte just dominated and talked down to this woman like she was a little girl. And Tiff looked lost in every segment. Even at the kind of end, she's like, all right, man, you know what? I'm done fucking with you. What you got to say?
You're going to put water on the fire.
Yeah, she went right back. Like, she went right back to her scripted line. And that was when, so the whole thing, everything you said is spot on, dude. And I got a question for you, Rhodesia. I'm watching, and I didn't get tipped off, right? Somebody had just clipped the promo segment. So it wasn't like, you know, they gave their synopsis of it. It was literally just a clip of it. So I'm watching, and I'm like, man, she's really giving it to Tiffany, but not in a way of, I'm trying to make you look bad.
No.
It was in a way of, either step up or step the fuck off. That's what it felt like.
But see, I got a question though. When you say that, right? Because we know it's not a shoot, right? Mm-hmm. Who was the writer and producer for this?
So that's what I want to talk about a little bit. That's what I want to get into. I want to geek out on this one a little bit. That is what I want to talk about. You got one shooting. You got one who had her line scripted. Charlotte's off the cuff. She probably had some bullets that she knew she was going to throw, and I'm going to see how Tiffany reacts to it. The Via cash in line was absolutely a bullet she had in the chamber. Yeah, you won, but you cashed in. Like, that ain't shit. Anybody can do that. Tiffany wasn't ready for it. To your point, she had that line about you put water on whatever's hot. Charlotte gave her the floor. She went right back to that line. That is a scripted line that she had. Not good enough. Not good enough. There was a lot of conversation online about Charlotte intentionally making Tiffany look bad. There was a lot of conversation around Tiffany's not ready for this spot they put it in. There was a lot of conversation around, whoa, there was a mistake to give Tiffany the title. There was also, and I came from the spot of iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing in real time what we saw with John Cena and Roman Reigns years ago. Mm-hmm. Same thing. When John Cena told Roman Reigns in that ring, it's a promo, kid. If you're the big dog, you got to figure it out. I'm still around because you can't do your job. This is what it is. When they find somebody who was supposed to be that next big thing, and we all, I think, agree, Tiffany Stratton will be that next big thing. But holy hell, E, you probably said maybe a month and a half ago. I think this is before Charlotte even came back for the Royal Rumble. And you just said it there. You said, I'm a little worried because that line that what Jay had a long time ago, right? What's 300 when you pull up? Whatever the line was. I can't remember right now. You're going to see when we thought who we thought Tiffany was is who Charlotte is. And when you put them next to each other, it may look a little different.
You see the difference.
And right now, we are seeing the difference. That's why, in my opinion, the physicality 2 weeks ago didn't work. That's why this promo segment didn't work in regards to on television trying to get us excited for the match, per se. It worked, though, when you are watching it from the lens we watch a lot of times is, let's see if this person can step up. Let's watch. Let's see the eye contact. Let's see the inflection of the voice. Let's see what they do when everything doesn't go right. Can they do a little something different that is not just pre-talked about or rehearsed or whatever the case may be? And Charlotte got her hook, line, and sinker. Completely dominated her. Rhodes, I want to get into your thoughts because I think you feel a little bit differently. You even sent me a text when you watched it last night. It was like, it wasn't that bad. I think it was. After you give your thoughts, and then E, I want your thoughts on this question too I'm about to ask. What would you rather see? And you can't do this all the time because this does not make for good TV. Charlotte is exposing Tiffany on the lead up and build to WrestleMania. I am 100% sure Charlotte is not going to expose her in the match at WrestleMania. If she wanted to, she could. Right, the majority of the veterans can expose the younger talent if they wanted to in a match. Used to happen back in the day, kind of consistently. They don't do that now. That would be looked at as unprofessional. I don't think what Charlotte's doing right now is unprofessional. But what would you rather see? Would you rather see, hey, let's talk this all out before we go out there and we cut a promo, and hey, I'm not going to make you look too bad. I'm going to dig into you a little bit, but nowhere near is what I could do because I know you're not at my level yet. Or would you rather see what we're kind of seeing now with Charlotte and Tiffany, where Charlotte is probably like, look, I'm Charlotte fucking Flair. I am not dropping my speed down. Yeah, I won't go 120 miles an hour, but I'm going 95 miles an hour. And maybe you've only shown 75 miles an hour on TV. You got to get to that next 20 if you are going to be that next person in WWE. Which one would you rather see?
I want to answer this question before I give my thoughts on it. I would 100% take that latter. Charlotte Flair is not going to tear down what she helped build in the women's division. When the Four Horsewomen came over and kind of just changed the whole landscape of women's wrestling in WWE, or just even in professional wrestling worldwide, she's not going to do that. I want you to... This is the point of why you work with veterans. This is the point why you work with seasoned people. Hey, you're going to get in the grind with me. You're going to see how I work in the grind, and you've got to keep up. No, of course, there's going to be times I don't think she's doing anything malicious. I think she's doing everything she's supposed to be doing. And if someone says that Charlotte or Ashley is actually like doing this to her on purpose to make her look bad, I would say, hell no, that's no way near what's going on. But you got to keep up. Listen, I am the mother. You're going to keep up flat out. My thoughts on the promo. Now, I did go into watching it, hearing and seeing everybody talking about, oh, she got raped over. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, poor Tiff. Like, and oh, she gave it to her. So I went into it with a different kind of already. Dang, I know Tiffany got her ass ate.
Damn, okay.
She got, whoa, here we go.
Yes, sir.
Tiffany got ate up.
TFW After Dark is started, y'all.
She got her ass ate.
Let's go.
Where Kaiser at?
She got her ass chewed out. Okay, is that better? But to me, and I've worked at home before, and so anybody who's worked at home before, they probably understand what I'm about to say. It was the production from the very beginning. When they first put them on and got them mic'd up, it was like Tiff had a delay from when Charlotte was talking. And Charlotte had the good headset. She had the one that cost like $100 with the whole mouthpiece so then you can hear everything in real time. Where Tiff had the one that had the echo and it was a delay in a second. And so it was from the very jump. She's like, oh, you there? Oh, you there? Like, yo, we're live, pal. So I think she just started off production-wise, like she just was not prepared. And like you said, she is going to go back to that same line because she's nervous now. This ring light that I'm looking at right now is blinding me. Now imagine that on the production side of things. And you know you're challenging the queen. Man, hell yeah, she was scared. But I would rather see that not all the time, you should get growth in it, but I would always rather see that because I know that I trust the queen. I know that she's going to bring the best out of Tiffy. And like you said, at WrestleMania, I do not think in any way she's going to do anything unprofessional in that ring. I think she's going to make Tiffy look good, like Charlotte does a lot of times. She's also going to make herself look good, but she is going to make Tiffy look good. So yes, if she's going 100 miles an hour, Tiffy, hang on. I don't want you dimming down your light for somebody to catch up, especially if they're earmarked to be the next best thing.
I think I said it before, but this is like when that Corvette roll up, loud as shit, right? Roll up, thinking they hot shit, and then all of a sudden the Bugatti parked right next to it. Like, that's what this is. Like, Charlotte is just having a field day. And as far as, do I want to see this kind of shit in real time? Not if I'm producing TV. I don't actually even want to see it as a fan, to be honest with you. Like, it's your job. Like, Tiffy is telling the future. You don't want to put her in a position to make her look bad, even not for a minute. Not weeks before I wrestle fucking Mania. Like, right here. Like, not unless this is part of the story, is that you're getting dominated on the microphone in the segments. I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. Right? Like, I don't think that's the way you build, like, a babyface character, is to make her look bad in an actual sit-down segment. I don't think that, you know, I didn't actually see any of the scuttlebutt online. Like, I don't actually have any of those accounts linked. I only look at the stuff that I actually follow. So I had no idea that my comments are similar to what was being put out there. But you know, I don't know the woman behind Charlotte. I don't think that she intentionally went to show her out. I feel like it just is something naturally that happens because of the foundation of her character, as opposed to Tiffany is still playing a character. I feel like, like those actors who actually, those method actors that yeah. into the character, mm-hmm. like, right, and they're doing things, you know, whatever, to kind of get in that moment. And then you got that person that kind of, it's a job. Like, they read their lines to the best of their ability, how they think the characters sound, and they come out and they do it. There's a difference between the method actor and the ones who's just checking in. And that's the difference in what you're seeing right now, right? That's why you need somebody stronger, like a Rhea Ripley, for instance. This is the difference of Rhea Ripley in 2025 versus Rhea Ripley in 2021 when she first got to the main roster. Someone who didn't know her character, who still learned her character and was kind of learning on the fly, versus yep. somebody who established and knows their character front and back, to where that's not even, you know, that's just a part of their, probably their being at this point, right? That's why Charlotte is doing it, because she's a pro. Now, I don't want to see her being exposed in any type of way. And I don't think when the match happens, Charlotte may have to slow down a little bit, because Charlotte is one of the best wrestlers in the world, not just females. She's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Like, has Tiffany grown a lot in the past couple of years? Sure. But you're talking about, there's a lot there's a lot, there's a big experience gap in that. Mm-hmm. So Charlotte may have to slow down a little bit for her, but it would behoove them to do so. I feel like this is one of the things in that segment. This is when they actually review it back. I'm not sure if it's live, but even going through the rehearsals and they're going through line by line on the bullet points, you like, yo, all right, this is making Tiffy look a little too weak. Let's tone this down. Or, hey, let me give Tiffy this line for her. Like, there's a preference of things I would do to make that segment a little more even-handed. Because at the end of the day, I don't think you want your baby face to look like a joke. And that's what we almost got in that segment.
So, everything you said is spot on. Except for the part, in my opinion, around when we go over what our segment looks like. This is not happening if it's not Tiffany Stratton. Charlotte just worked... what's her name? I was about to call her Brianna. What's her name? She was with the Prophets.
Bianca. Wait.
No, B-Fab.
That may be her name. B-Fab. Yeah.
I think Bianca is her name. B-Fab
looked like a million bucks.
Brianna is her real name.
Brianna.
Yep. The week before. Made like $1 million the week before. Because it's not about... We're trying to get B-Fab to look like she belongs. That's where we are in her projection. Yeah. Everybody knows Tiffany belongs. Tiffany's going to be a mainstay. Some people think she's the franchise. All right, now it's time for you to see what we're going to do. Cena used to do this to everybody. Anybody he got into a promo battle with, it felt like, oh, if you're in the ring with me, step up or get stepped on, right? Mm-hmm. Charlotte may have tried this years ago with Rhea. Didn't work a couple years ago. It damn sure didn't work against Bianca. Bianca held her own. Actually, Bianca kind of gave it to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. That is what I think this is about, because you are supposed to be the heir apparent to this. All right, now let's see what you got.
I mean, you don't do that from WrestleMania, though. This you don't do that for WrestleMania. This is the problem with the, if this is what they're doing, this is why the build is what it is. And I guess if they're gonna put out these kind of builds in this type of way, and you know, like, hey, we gonna make her learn on the fly, you know, weeks before WrestleMania, maybe that's why we gotta wait a week before the show to actually get 100% invested in it. I mean, you get what you put out. So this is what they're putting out. Shit is what you're gonna get back. Now, at the end of the day, and that's a problem with a lot of time with us fans. If we can sit and watch TV that we don't agree with week after week, and then all of a sudden one show they could just say, "Woo, I'm ready, mm-hmm. I'm there, let's go." That's a problem because they can continue to do these type of things. I don't think you should do that. I think that when you're putting on a show, you owe it to the performer and to your audience to put the best possible product on every week. Minute by minute. I shouldn't be putting things out there I know is going to be kind of bad so I could prove a point, or I can, like, no, you do that in other avenues. Maybe you do that at house shows. Maybe you do that at a, you know, at a live event or a different, like, there's things at stake right now. This is the biggest show in the world. Like, you mean to tell me we setting examples and we making, like, no, we should be putting on the best possible television. That's not what we got. That's absolutely not what we got.
I was going to say, but the difference is I enjoyed it, brother. I thought it was great. I didn't think it was bad. It's bad for Tiffany.
Shame on you.
Well, no, it's not bad for Tiffany if she takes this as a learning opportunity and grow from it. Matt, you mentioned when you first intro this segment here as far as the build. And I just want to say that I am 100% in agreement on what they've done. So when they had their physicality and then the next week they follow up with the sit down, I'm 100% fine with that. I'm actually happy that is the trajectory for it. It's just that Tiffany got ate up alive.
She got an ass ate. Boy, she got that ass ate on Netflix. I like turn that shit up, Renisha. So that was that. Main event segment, which was Punk, Roman, and Seth. I said, It was enough. It was enough to set the foundation. It was enough to get people intrigued that now, hey, it's officially announced for the triple threat. Now they got 3 weeks to really make this match what it needs to be. I think the biggest thing for me out of this whole thing was they know what the favor is now. What's because Punk teased it.
Oh, you mean they?
On Monday.
They know the favor. Okay,
they know the favor is now. Okay. Punk teased it and said, you know, this thing has been all about one thing for him, and that's main event in WrestleMania. And I think he said, now I'm not, or am I? Mm-hmm. And he made a quick comment again about the favor. They're doing the contract signing on this Friday. We don't need to get into, if you had to guess what the favor is. If you guys want to have that conversation, we can have it. That's not where I wanted to go with it. Where I want to go with it is, the three of us didn't want this triple threat match as first opportunity, right? We either wanted Punk, Roman, any option, probably opportunity out of the three of them, one-on-one, we were like, give me that, opposed to this triple threat match. We were getting a triple threat match. This one, I think, is absolutely going to get us where we need to get to in terms of excitement levels for sure by time WrestleMania starts. My question for you guys, though, is will it take a lot for you personally to get as excited as you should for a CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns match? Or are you kind of like I am? Like right now, I'm there. I just need to see it play out. I need to hear what the favor is this Friday. And then I need an incredible segment, WrestleMania level segment, involving Roman Reigns and either Seth by himself or Punk by himself or the three of them. But you guys know what I mean when I say WrestleMania level Roman Reigns segment. That's what I'm waiting for. Give me the favor on Friday. Give me the Roman Reigns segment and I'm locked in. Or do you guys need way more than that to be like, for this to be who's involved, they got to give me a lot more.
I think I would probably be somewhere in the middle. If I had to answer one way or the other, because I like to try to answer the question fully, then I'll add my commentary. I would probably say, just I'll go with it. Again, my bloodline, right? I'm never booked bloodline. But I will say that I think me being partial in things is rearing its ugly head again, because over these last couple of times I've seen the combination of them three, it seems like Punk has lost a lot of steam for me, and that my attention is going a lot more towards Seth and Roman. And I thought that before it was Seth kind of looking like the little brother, the little brother. He got called a little brother by Punk. And to me right now, I'm feeling more of Seth and Roman. So that's why I keep saying like 10 toes down, I'd rather it be a singles match. I'm starting to lose the interest of Punk. I don't know if it's because where they're at in their shows. And again, we're kind of getting the greatest hits from him too at these shows. But I'm starting to feel like he's the odd man out for me in this match even more. So I goofed around talking about two out of three. But really, I'm starting to feel like he's not really in this match. Like the only reason why he is because he has his favor that we're about to see on Friday. Regardless, I'm going to pop for this match. I'm going to be super excited for this match. But if you can give me a whole lot more in addition to telling me something was happening on Friday and this signing, then I'll be really, really happy. But right now I am starting to feel like, I'm getting some Punk fatigue.
7.5 all the way live. 7.5. That's where I'm at with this. It's like the rest of the show. Like I need a lot more. But it's nothing more they can give me. And we talked, right. I established earlier in the show. I think we said it like this. This is what it is. This ain't no something they can really pivot. They can just turn this on. I mean, it's going to be a fine show. It's going to be WrestleMania. It's going to be all those things. It's going to be a nice match. It's a triple threat. It's the big names in the show. But who gives a fuck? Like, why should I care? Why should I care who wins this match? Or what's the stake? Like, right? Because after the match, you know, Roman Reigns is going back to semi-retirement. Like, right? You still have, you know, Grimace still there. Like, man, I got to check out of that, right? CM Punk. I think CM Punk has some nice lines in there, right? Like, I think he, you know, Big Chief, Grimace, and he made it. He said a couple times and back-to-back promos, like, you know, neither one of you will beat me without the help of the other. You know, kind of sitting that stage right there, like, yo, I'm the guy to beat in this contest. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's a meaningless match. It's just not what I wanted to see for a WrestleMania. This don't feel like a WrestleMania match. This could be a main event of any other PoE, and that'd be cool. But at the end of the day, like a lot of those PoEs, let's be honest, let's just say what it is, man. Like them PoEs, they all right. Like most of them been all right this year. Like, right, they've been entertaining, been some good matches. There's been a couple matches that stand out on the card, but they've been cool, and you know, when they done, And that's what this feel like. I feel like when it's done, it's done.
And, then, and that's why, know, I think Friday is so important, E, because of the whatever this this match has to have a stipulation. I think we probably all can agree there. And I think, hopefully, from what I can see, if this makes sense, I am hoping we somehow figure out what the favor is on Friday, and that is part of the stipulation. Now this match means something, because you are correct. As is, if there was not a stipulation for this match.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example of like what a stipulation would be of the three.
I don't think this is the case, but stipulation could be whoever wins this match in night one gets the title match night two.
Okay.
Don't think that's what it is.
Got
right?
it. Okay.
Stipulation can be whoever wins this match, something involving Paul Heyman going forward. Maybe that's the favor, right? Whoever wins this match gets Paul Heyman.
Seth don't give a shit about that.
So man, then maybe that's why Seth gets it.
Look, you know, in the in the business world for me, I don't care how I get to the finish line, but as long as I hit my goal, I don't care. Like, I'll do whatever to win. All right, I don't care how I get there. So I know, like, a lot of times Matt and I, we have discussions on like the journey, and for me, it's all about the destination. Always about the destination. So we talk about, we get to WrestleMania. Do I need that one show, that one segment? Like, right? Like, but that's not, I'm only like that when it comes to goals for myself and winning. Because I have things that stake for me. Like, right? But when it comes to my entertainment, nah, man, I ain't that hot and cold. I ain't that fickle. You can't do nothing for me if you can't give me, you know, it's like a 5-course meal. You can't give me, you know, 4 courses in a row that are subpar. And just because you give me one, I'm going to say, oh, this was a 10-star meal. Like, no, like the last one that you gave me was good, but everything else was shit. So I'm going to give you like, I'm going to give you an 8. Like, right? Like, there's nothing they can do at this point. Like, the stipulation, like, I don't think it's anything to do with a night two. Like, if they do, like, I don't know how they can explain that rationally at this point. Like, there's no way. Like, how, like, Paul Heyman doesn't have any kind of stroke within WWE that he can pull a title shot out of his ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Like, Cody Rhodes is going to have the battle of his life against this renegade John. We're hoping that maybe
we're hoping that maybe
the 2 hours before the event, Travis Scott come out and explain everything to us in a rap, right? Like, he has like a rap party with candles and shit, man. And his lyrically, he just makes everything make sense, right? So now we're wild out. So now we got this emotional roller coaster. Cody Rhodes, you know, hopefully he beats John Cena. I gotta be honest with you, I don't want to see a John Cena win at this point. We didn't get to that. Because if John Cena is not going to be around for like another 6 months, and we gotta have a Lucy, we gotta have more filler until we get to his next appearance, I don't want to see that. But going back to it, man, like, look, it's nothing they can do for me at this moment that's going to turn, change my mind. I've been sitting through this for too long. It don't matter what they do next week or the week before. It's going to be what it's going to be. Is it going to be a good match? Absolutely, absolutely, it's going to be a good match. But I need more than a good match, and especially I expect more from WrestleMania.
Cena will be around in May and June, just FYI. He's already announced for some dates for SmackDown. They're all SmackDown shows. So we'll see. We'll see. It sounds like it's crazy because we sound like we're really down on. I don't know if we're as down as. So one of two things is happening right now in real time. Either the three of us are really down on WrestleMania, or we're lying about what our excitement level's at. It's one of the two.
No, I've already said that I have a 9.95. Oh, because I still sound negative, right?
Right.
I got it. Yeah.
So
yep.
You absolutely are not 9.5 because you really haven't said anything positive this whole show.
Oh, and I got something else I got to say that's not positive.
And I think E is about a 2. Actually, E may be at the negative at this point right now. He can't wait to stop recording so he watches Dynamite.
I'm at a 7. Oh, no. You know, that's a sad thing. I heard some great things about Dynamite a week ago. I just couldn't find myself to watch it, man. I'm like, man, I just don't want to fucking watch any more wrestling this week. And that's another question. That's another time for another conversation.
Yep. Go ahead.
I feel there's so much wrestling on right now. WWE gives you so much content. I need like a break from wrestling after I watched all of this. But I just don't have time to put in more of it.
So here's the thing. I'll take it a step further. And this is how every industry goes. Right, no matter whoever the lead of in that industry, they lead the way the entire business goes. Right, so however Coca-Cola's doing is that's going to be a headwind of how the pop or soda market is doing. When WWE, and I've noticed this over the last couple of weeks, Raw SmackDown has not been the best. Raw has been really good. SmackDown has not. I've enjoyed SmackDown because I enjoyed this past week because I saw the snippets and then I watched the show last night, but I fast forwarded through stuff I didn't care about. I wasn't watching live. So I thoroughly enjoyed Liv and Jade. Hey, Jade, please back off the kip ups. You may have kipped up more than you taunted.
My God.
And you taunted it 52 times in the match. Relax on the kip ups, girl. Nice job. Liv made her look like $1 million, but she, you can tell she's progressing really well in the ring. But when WWE is not the best, I don't want to watch any more wrestling. And I say that to say, like, Dynamite, I've been watching AEW. You guys have been hearing me. Overall, I've been very happy and impressed with what I've been seeing. Last week, I had no want to watch Dynamite. And it wasn't because of what AEW did the week prior. It was because I was good. I didn't watch NXT 2 weeks ago because I was like, I'm good, man. Because WWE wasn't, whatever show I watched, it wasn't the best. I did watch part of Dynamite, Megan Bain. She is what I thought she would be on somebody's weekly TV show. I am happy she is in AEW. A little worried that they're pushing her too soon because like she's up for a title shot against Toni Storm. And I don't think you put the belt on Megan. So then it's one of those things of, okay, then what happens when she doesn't beat Toni for the championship?
She goes off TV again.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So I'm a little worried by that. But damn, she is who I thought she would be. She's got the look. She's got the total package. So shout out to her. I'm happy to see that. But you did bring up, you brought up the AEW piece. There was a lot that kind of came out over the last 24, 48 hours with the women. Before the show, you wanted Renisa to tee up this. Renisa said, I don't give a damn about this. And you kind of said, you don't give a damn about it. So I'll go really quick. Mariah May, contract is supposed to be up in the summertime. And then the internet took hold of that and started posting photos of her at WrestleMania in Texas and taking pictures with the Triple H. Life-size standee and talking about how Triple H is her favorite wrestler of all time. And one day is going to be Mariah Mania, I think she said, or yeah, whatever she said. I would love for her to go to WWE for her because it looks like she was a major WWE fan. I think she's good wherever she goes. I will say, from a storyline career perspective, she has peaked in AEW. You can't get higher than that Toni Storm storyline. You can't. So if she wants to go out on top, even though she didn't win the feud, that was a year-long feud, should have main evented their last pay-per-view. If that is the way you leave a territory, stamp it. Awesome. But if she wants to stay and she's going to get paid, wherever she goes, she's getting paid. And she's going to be taken care of for years from a contract perspective. But I wouldn't mind seeing her in WWE at all.
Where do you want to see her, Rhodesia?
It doesn't matter. I think that she's risque enough to be in a non-WWE ring. And then if you did put her in a WWE ring, she's already gorgeous. They would make her even just more gorgeous. So I think she will fit well anywhere she lands. So I don't really care where she goes. And that's what I mean by I don't care. Not that I don't care about her, because I think that's a great achievement. And if somebody's calling her back from the Texas WrestleMania and she's only been, 7-8 years from that, that's a pretty damn good manifestation going on in her life. So props to her for that.
Well, to be fair, for you, you don't watch AEW nearly as much as you watch WWE. So then that's a good question by E, because do you care about watching Mariah May? If your answer is I care about watching her, you would say WWE or NXT. If you don't care about watching her and you take her for bits and pieces, that's when you would say, I don't care. You know, if I catch her.
No, I like watching her. Every time I see her, she's one of those people that when she comes out, your eyes is glued to her. Like, you want to see her. And a lot of times with attractive people, that's what happens. People just like stare. So every time I see her, I'm like, okay, I'm dialed in. And then knowing that she can wrestle, knowing that she has character. So I guess based off of what you're saying, then I would want her in WWE somehow.
I want her in WWE now. I think it's, as what you said, I think she peaked in AEW. I don't know where she goes. I don't know where her next, you know, the line of sight for her will be in that company. I kind of feel like a lot of times, like there's not a lot for these people to do after they get to like the top. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think about it like, all right, so like money isn't a problem for Tony Khan, right? So if he wants to pay the girl, if he wants to overpay her to keep her there, I mean, he certainly could, like, right? But I would rather see her in WWE. And if I'm Tony Khan, to be honest, so if I'm like, if he actually cares about money, I gotta be honest with, not that she's not worth what he will pay, I don't know if she's worth overpaying for where they probably would slot her.
From a return
on investment. And how they will probably use her. Yeah, because I don't think that they're going to use her. If they're going to main event her, if she's going to, you know, grab one of the championships again and she's going to have another big run as a babyface or as another heel or something like that, if they have her positioned to be, you know, one of the big things that they're going to consistently use, mm-hmm. pay her, right? Right? Pay her. But I just don't see overpaying to keep her and she's just one of the girls. And I kind of feel like, to be 100% honest with you, I kind of see them kind of dialing her back a little bit, because you already got Toni Storm, who is a awesome character. Honestly, I love to see that character on WWE, but it's an awesome character for AEW. You got Mercedes, who's catching steam, doing her thing. Those are your top two girls, like, right?
Yep.
With Mariah there, she's going to be third at best, probably fourth. At some point, you know, they're already pushing Mega Banks. So for me, I think it's her best interest to go WWE. But if they don't give her a big payday, hey, go get your bread. And you can't hate on that.
I was just looking while you were talking, because you made the comment about what you just said. She signed that contract November 2023. That's a hell of a quick turnaround.
Wow.
I wonder if that was her time frame. Said. It didn't, I mean, I thought it was quick. You know, a lot of these deals now have been like 3 to 5 years or so. Says,
wow, quick.
There's a caveat included with the report, which is that May could have option years on her AEW contract. This is back in, this is just today. If they included that in her deal, Tony Khan could decide to utilize these options to keep May around for a longer period of time. Possibly at a different pay scale. A report cited an anonymous AEW source who cited they'd be surprised if May's contract did not include option years, as she was heavily pushed on TV despite being on a short-term agreement. Neither AEW nor May offered up any official comment on the matter. So that makes sense. That makes absolute sense. Because, saying she signed in November 2023. I wonder whose idea was it to be a short-term deal to potentially then go long-term deal. If it was her idea, she's out. She's gone. I don't know why it would be Tony's idea to have her for a short amount of time. But
if you think about it, right, she's unproven talent at the time. Like, right? And so, you know, part of the, you know, there's a, I'm not sure if you know about it, Rhodesia, but you know, Dolph Ziggler's brother, Ryan Nemeth, mm-hmm. has a, you know, the lawsuit. And I think part of the lawsuit.
Oh, no. I don't know about the lawsuit.
No, yeah, there's a lawsuit. You know anything about it?
Nope.
But just quickly, Ryan Nemeth is suing AEW and CM Punk for some kind of harassment, right, Matt? And yep. So it's the nuts of it is that at some point, AEW offered him some kind of a silence deal where they were going to pay him the rest of his contract just to be quiet. Like, okay. Ryan didn't initially get back with them. And when he got back with them, they pulled that deal off the table. Mm. So he's suing them to get that money that they talked to him about, essentially. Like, right? And so now as lawsuit's going through, AEW and Tony Khan, they want to keep it private. They don't want it to go public because they don't want they don't want some of the contract agreement negotiations, okay. et cetera, to be put out there. They feel like if some of their pay structure was made public, it'll put them at a disadvantage for negotiating talent in the future. So I would imagine, you know, probably like a Mercedes, Okada, Will Ospreay's got paid, Ricochet's, these two, you know, rumored they got paid millions of dollars, right? Maybe Mariah May isn't getting paid millions of dollars. Maybe she got kind of a lower scale.
Lower scale, dude. Right?
Yeah, you know, because she's a lesser known talent. They probably, you know, probably broke her off some nice money, probably more guaranteed money than she was making overseas, right? However, now if I'm a hot commodity, right, I overplayed my contract, WWE's interested into me, they're going to go ahead and give me a nice deal. So now it kind of behooves her to make that move. But, you know, as I said, if AEW has to overpay to keep her, I wouldn't do it.
Get paid, young sister, get paid. Funny update to the Ryan Nemeth story, and I thought this was the case. He tweeted today, raise your hand if a literal billionaire sent someone to sue you 4 minutes before you walked on stage for your off-Broadway debut play this weekend. That's his Twitter bio right now.
As the, you know, I wonder why, you know, Dolph Ziggler didn't make it AEW. Then I forgot about the lawsuit with your brother. Like, oh, that's probably why.
Now you know. That's probably has something to do with it. The other women's news from AEW, Saraya, who just a couple days ago said that she's going to be gone from AEW a while because they don't need her, came out today and said that she left AEW. She gone. All I really have for this one is it's a damn shame that we did not get her and Mercedes. I don't like that is a massive miss. Massive miss to me. I think she still has something to give to the wrestling business. I'm on the side of. Here's a question for you. If you can only pick one to be in WWE, is it Saraya or is it Mariah May?
Mariah May purely on age.
Okay.
Oh, well, you know, and here's the thing, you know, Paige isn't, she's still young. She's been around for a long time, but she's still young. I think she's like 32.
That's fact checking, maybe.
I'm about to find her right now, but she, yeah, I think Mariah May is younger than her.
Oh, well, Mariah May definitely
less,
is younger.
She has less mileage on her ring. Saraya
is 32 years old.
32 years old. She's young. She's That's very young.
Wow. That is very young.
Because you would think as long as she's been around, she'd probably be like in her late 30s. Like, you would think she's like Charlotte's age at least. Yeah. And Charles, she's young. She's still 38 years old.
Mariah May's 26.
But yeah, Mariah May, I will pick her because I feel like there's more to do. Mm-hmm. New character you can kind of, you know, groom. I kind of feel like, you know, Paige, when she comes back, she's going to be kind of who she's going to be. I definitely think that Paige, if she were to go back, which I think she will, I think she's definitely going back to the, maybe, she was on Busted Open, and she's very complimentary of AEW, her time there. Said she loved her time there. She said that, you know, she mutually agreed with Tony to step away because she has pursuits outside of wrestling that she wants to get into, some acting, et cetera. So it sounds like something, she's going to be away from wrestling for the time being. But I think when she's ready to come back to wrestling, she's definitely going to be WWE bound. I think it's more so the shame of we didn't get Mercedes versus Saraya. I think that is how they used her. And she mentioned during her interview, she said that, hey, you can be upset with maybe the way I was used, maybe you thought I should have been used differently, et cetera. But, you know, she enjoyed her time there. I think it's an absolute travesty the way that she was used there. I feel like that, and they dropped the ball from her from the very start. Man, she had an awesome story, and they just dropped the bomb with not producing her correctly, creatively. That promo that she told, and then the Britt Baker promos afterwards that followed that, really turned the AEW audience against her, and she never was able to get back on track. And I feel like the attempts to get her back on track were very half-hearted. Now, she says that she never wanted to be the big star. She wanted to get other girls over.
Yep.
Like, goddamn, baby. When she went back to the company, I mean, when she went to AEW, she was like in her late 20s. Like, so you're not over the hill old hag that got to put girls over. And since Tony didn't use her properly, didn't see that in her, and then push her properly to understand her star power and what her story meant, man, I feel that's the biggest travesty to me.
It's a big what if.
That made me feel different. That made me feel different about her. Just y'all saying that she did not want to be the main thing there, that she wanted to put other people over. Because I was going to say her career in AEW was just, it was underwhelming and it should not have been. And I don't blame her. But now that you're saying that her, in her mind, she wanted to put young talent over, then I can kind of see why it's like that, along the lines of the Kenny Omega thing. Like, you know, Kenny Omega, what he was before, you know, he wanted to come over and it felt as if he didn't want to be the main guy forever. And we saw what we got out of his career with AEW. No, I don't think anybody would say that Kenny Omega has had anywhere near the type of career in AEW that he did in New Japan.
No, he's did some awesome stuff with the trios, though, with the Bucks. You take out a surgery. We'll see what this next part looks like. Him versus Ricochet versus Speedball, Mike Bailey, at the next pay-per-view. That match is going to be insane. And shout out to Ricochet. I guess he's not on Dynamite. He announced that him and Samantha are getting married right now. So shout out to them.
Nice. Yep. Oh, yay.
That's very cool. Very cool to those lovebirds.
Yay.
Was there anything else from a women's perspective? I think that was it, right? Soraya, Mariah May.
No, Mina and Mandy.
Oh, Mandy. Yeah, oh, that's right. Mina says she's heading back to AEW, which is awesome. Mandy got on her soapbox today. Yeah. Got hit with the community notes. Like, lady, you were not a double champ. I thought she was. And he was like, no.
I thought she was too.
No, she never was. I was like, oh, he's like, she just put the belts together. I was like, oh, my bad.
Oh, wait. So I never even looked more into it. The community notes on it. So she wasn't a double champ.
No, she wasn't double champ.
No.
That's why. So, like, for the listeners, so, like, you know, in the friend chat, you know, I sent the guys a tweet of Mandy agreeing with the fan who said that they skipped over her when they talked about Stephanie being a double champion. You know, I'm not sure they said it was the first time ever or what the actual quote tweet was, but the fan was like, "Hey,
they said it on TV."
Yeah,
yeah, they say, "Oh, they totally forgot about, you know, disregarded Mandy," and then Mandy replied back. Like, yeah, ain't that about a bitch? Something like that to that extent, right?
It's pretty pathetic, isn't it? Thanks for the recognition, though. Appreciate you.
Pretty pathetic. And I sent the group to the message to the chat. I'm like, oh, she must not run her own account. Because, like, she should know that she was never a double champion.
And I was
she
like,
unified.
I was like, yeah, this skip over. And he was like, no, like, she wasn't a double champion. She unified. I was like, oh, you're right. Okay.
That was a unification match.
I really did think that was like, and they doing that China energy on her. Like, ever since she's out there selling pics of her body, they're like, oh, forget her. We're going to eliminate her from the books.
Nope, that wasn't the case. That just wasn't what she was. I mean, no, smacked her across the face with that one, though. She got her ass ate, Rhodesia.
Oh, she did. There's
literally,
a video about
that. Probably. Yeah,
she did, like, shoot. No, I'm like, legit, she got her ass ate.
That's it, literally. That's it, probably, literally.
Are you any more excited about Jada and Naomi? We saw Naomi as a heel now, officially came out with the black on, or what they consider a heel. Some people may say she was right the whole time. Came out there, no music yet, so we don't know what the music looks like, but no color, just caution tape. She got some of Jay's ass.
Yeah, I thought cool. that was a good one. I was gonna actually say
on his ass. Sorry, I need to find Katrina.
Jay,
there you go.
Off this podcast.
I thought Jay looked great. Again, I did text Matt. Hey, yeah, I text Matt. I was like, because I think he was a little bit ahead of me watching the show than I was. And I'm like, I already know that you're past this. I'm like, but how many kip-ups is Jay going to do?
After
I counted
one,
three in 1 minute. Yeah, I counted
after the
three.
12th one, I was just like, thank God for Liv Morgan.
Hey, you know what, though? Hey, that last one she did, I feel like because she was a slow-ass kip-up, too. I felt like she was like, oh, I think I already did this too many times. But, I mean, I already am kind of going through the motions, so let me go ahead and bang it out.
With that last one, I thought, like, her knee and her, like, ankle went out. Like, if you watch, like, the way she landed, I was like, please don't fucking go out another 6 months because
you know
doing too many nip-ups.
I thought it was, like, the old school dunk contest. So it was like, you got your first dunk, all your energy is there, you lose all your stamina after the first dunk that you miss. I'm like, she gonna keep kipping up.
She gonna lose all of her stamina.
She's not gonna be able to get up.
She hit that taunt button one too many times and no mercy.
Yep.
She went from green to yellow.
But overall, I thought Jay looked good. She looked more comfortable noticeably for me.
She, I mean, and Liv had a big piece to do with that. She did. So good match. Like I said, it looks like we are getting the Mania match. So that's what it is. What else? E, I know you have some on 2K. Oh, real quick, before you get to your 2K stuff, we had a question on YouTube. Our guy, Ghost Ronnie, T1285, said, do you think Chelsea Green is going to get another security guard? If so, who would you pick for her? Which I thought was a great question.
I thought I did.
Do you guys think – so my answer would be – I don't know if Chelsea's going to have the title long enough to add another security guard, security member. If she did, I would continue to have non-Americans as her security guard. So I think that would be really, really cool. I don't know who it would be because why am I forgetting her name?
It's not Alba Fire.
She's the one that got let go. What's her name?
No, Isla Dawn got let go.
I'm sorry, Alba Fire. Alba Fire does not come across before this as any type of like comedy or comedic wrestler, so they could put anybody there. But if they were to give her another one, I would say, once again, make sure it's like non-American, which just adds to her being like the U.S. whole thing. But I don't think she needs another one.
I like that. But I did say if we would go with Princess Ariana. I don't know what she called herself.
Who?
But Santino's daughter.
Oh, that's okay. A good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. See her She'd being, be like her secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good.
That's a good one.
The comedy between those two would be outstanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I felt like the Alba Fire thing was very interesting because I believe like Blair Davenport has said on one of her interviews on the way out, she said, "Hey, she had pitched to be part of Chelsea's crew," and then all of a sudden, you know, we see Isla getting released, and we're like, "Oh, where's Alba?" Like, you know, like, oh, and then Alba gets the role that Blair had pitched. I'm not sure if that was something that they had already threw out there and she pitched to be part of it, or did she have the idea and they ultimately gave it to Alba, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. But to right before we wrap things up, this is more so a conversation to my homeboy, Matt. I know, Rhodes, you don't really get into the games. Maybe you will, but I want to go ahead and quickly give a WWE 2K25 update. I want to go ahead and quickly say that I recommend the game. Okay. If you like 2K24, you're going to like 2K25. I will say that if you're looking for great big gameplay changes, you're not going to find it. I feel like this game, from a gameplay perspective, was more of a quality of life. You know, they added things to kind of make the game more smooth and more responsive, like a lot of different GM modes, et cetera. They kind of are tightening up. They added a new grapple system, a chain wrestling system, which is really, really cool. But I think
this might be the same way as it was before.
A little bit chain. Different. Okay. A little bit different. And they added a lot of new animations to kind of... I like this better than it was in the past. I kind of feel like I didn't use it very much.
I think I turned it off.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I like it. I think that you would enjoy that. But I think this might be one of the games that maybe, Matt, you may get into because there's different things I think that you would enjoy beyond just the gameplay. I think the showcase mode with the Bloodline is awesome. I like the what if matches. I think you'll get a kick out of that. Okay. I also think that you would like the My Rise. I know last year you kept asking about the My Rise. And I swear to God, I asked you questions like five times that it was boring.
He left me on red like 3 months. Because I was ready to lock down. I was like, let me see if it's worth me doing this. He just did not answer me from like March to June. And then he was like, yeah, I told you I didn't play it. It's like, dude, I played it.
It was boring as hell. I mean, it was very boring. Very boring. But I played just snippets of it just recently, and it's actually pretty fun. I mean, it's a nice little entry story. They have like branching, like right off the bat, when you start playing the mode, they have branching storylines. And based on how you kind of come into the promotion, kind of dictates like your early story. It also kind of it dictates what unlockables you have. So you can play the mode multiple times and get different unlockables based on how you're playing and branching through the story. I think it's a really cool way to kind of I won't say force you to play with both genders because like, so for instance, like I created my own character, right? And, I try to import them into my rise. So I import my character, but they're also trying to make me import like a woman. I thought I did something wrong. Like okay. I didn't create any women, Like, right? So, but in the during the match, like, you have a chance to get backup. And there's a multiple storylines how you bring the backup in your relationship with this backup. And so as you're going through the story, you can switch between the two characters as you're both are kind of going through the Mirai story. So it's very, very interesting. So I think you're you'll like that. Now, I know you're also on Next Gen. So Next Gen, you can play the island, which is like the city. So if you like that mode, you might like that. Now, I'm not into that. I'll play on PC, which is old gen considered.
Right? Is it like the park in 2K?
Yep.
Okay.
And unfortunately, you know, if you're familiar with the park and the city and all that stuff, the microtransactions are very the same. Yeah, they says need a lot of money to buy a lot of things. So, you know, but that's I heard they have a single player story that you might enjoy. So for you playing the game, you know, I think that you enjoy My Rise. I think that you enjoy the showcase. I think you might maybe want to try the island out.
Okay.
There's one thing I'm gonna leave you guys with. This is the last thing I'll say. They also added something called bruising. So this year is the first year, y'all, that you can, you know, you can have intergender matches. So, like, you can have matches with anybody, right? And there's blood with almost anybody. I think that you can't do blood in a man versus woman match, I believe. But these people bleeding. Like, women, men, they bleeding. They add also bruising, which I hate, y'all. Like, the bruising is ridiculous. Let me tell y'all something. I was playing a match the other day on My Rise, and, you know, you got the strike minigame, right? So you're going back and forth, and then they start just hitting each other over and over and over again. Man, let me tell y'all something. This happens like in the first like minute and a half in the match. I won the exchange, but then they show a close up on my guy's face, and he is beat to hell, y'all. His face is so red. I was horrified. I have never seen a reflection myself look that beat to hell. Like, man, I was almost scared. I'm like, oh my God, this is why I don't fight. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm a thug from back in the day. I gave that life up a long time ago. This is why I don't fight now, y'all. I sue. Hey, look, there's this crazy man that came in my store. It's like months ago, right? This dude coming up on me. Like, y'all, everybody know I'm a nice guy. I'm trying to help everybody out, too. This dude was on something, man. Mm. Like, but he walking up on me. He threatened me. And I'm like, bro, go ahead and touch me. Like, man, look, I'm going to sue you. Like, right? I'm going to sue you. I'm going to call the police on you. Man, once you go to jail, man, Diddy going to love to have a little skinny like dudes like you up in jail, man. Like, you know what Diddy going
to
do to you?
To get his ass beat.
Oh, yeah. I'm not fighting you, bro. Look, I'm suing you, and I'm taking you to jail. So when I'm watching this bruising on my face in this game, I was morbid. Like, hey, this is why I don't fight. So that's one thing I don't like about the game. The bruising is excessive. But overall,
is it realistic?
I think you might give it a try. I don't think so, bro. Because, like, when you actually watch a match, how often do you see dudes bruise up like that?
Take out the bruising part of, like, the wrestling, but say if it was, like, UFC. Like, say if it was a boxing fighting game, would you say it's realistic or would you say it's excessive?
So if this was a boxing or UFC game, it would make more sense.
Okay.
Like, right? But when you're actually watching, when you're playing this game, this is a reflection of what you see on television. These dudes are doing these fantastic moves and nothing happens. Now, one of my guys in Discord was like, yo, E, maybe they're getting the motivation from this, from a Gunther match. You know, he chops you, you know, your chest is going to bleed, right? But when you watch the majority of these matches, like, dudes aren't busted open like that and bruised up, and not in the first minute of a damn match.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's okay. So then the My Rise sounds like something I would get into, but then I have to create a character, which takes time. But the showcase, for sure, because I really enjoyed the showcase. That was actually all I did on 2K24 was just the showcase, which was I think it was a WrestleMania showcase last year.
Yep.
And but that was like 6 hours or however long it took me to play it. And I was waiting for your answer for 3 months. What if I should start My Rise? And then, like I said, by that time, it was over. I think I moved on to another game I hadn't played in like 6 years. I did just finish, show you how bad my backlog is. Horizon Zero Dawn. I just finished that a couple weeks ago. Like the original. Would that come out? Like 2000. I don't even know when the hell that game came out. 2018 or something like that.
Oh.
So, what's next? And I'm playing Mortal Kombat. Actually, I just beat Mortal Kombat, which is worth it just for the storyline alone. If you are into Mortal Kombat, the latest Mortal Kombat game is worth it for the story mode itself. And it looks incredible. But yeah, so I'm slowly but surely, I'm trying to get into it. So maybe I'll pick up 2K when it goes on sale. So that's what I'm talking about, though. E's review have come extraordinarily far. If you guys remember, you've been rocking with us since day one, E would come on here and all he talked about was creating his character. Not wrestling with his character, not doing anything but creating his character. It'd be 6 months after 2K. I'd be like, E, tell me about the gameplay, man. He was like, I don't know. I just be in there mod, man. I just be in there creating my character. So for him to be able to actually play the game, shout out to you, man.
That's actually false. Matt starts the conversation off, say, hey, don't tell me about the creative player. And I'm like, I'm not. But however, a lot of these games, I'm like, I'll tell you what it is about the game. I keep it quick. But this is one of the first, because I know that specifically the things that are good about the game, Matt's not going to be interested in. Like this, these are kind of like, you know, wrestling games are almost like hard. It's like hardcore wrestling. You got to kind of be into it. So if you're not into the mechanics and the gameplay of the game, you're not going to find enjoyment of it. But I think this is a year for people who kind of like sit on the fence, you know, with the story of the Might Rise and the island content. And I think this is one of the better showcases they've done some time. I think that if you're not just sitting there, you know, playing Universe and GM,
yeah,
if you're not into that kind of stuff, they got other modes for you to enjoy.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Last thing before we get out of here, I mentioned really quick at the beginning, I kind of just threw in the Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso comment, something I had on that. Number one, they are one of the best tag teams. We talked about it, but damn, it felt so right to see them back in a tag team match, and they hadn't missed a beat. So that's we know that is just, that is what it is. Number two, though, Jimmy hyping up Jey Uso was so fantastic in exactly what that feud is going to need for the next 2 weeks, because Gunther is going to beat the dog shit out of Jimmy Uso next week on Raw, and Jimmy Uso knows it. Jimmy Uso was putting himself in that position so Jay can get upset and get that fire back. Awesome storytelling from this Monday to what they're going to do next week to get into WrestleMania. But when I saw him give Jay that pump up talk, and he saw Gunther smack the hell out of Gunther, of course Gunther not taking that line down at all. That's going to give Jay that fire so he can win the championship at WrestleMania. I thought that was awesome. As much as that storyline has not been great, I think Jimmy went a long way of putting that match where it needs to be in the context of this is a really, really big deal. That was all I had. Yep. That was all I had. Bravo. All right, y'all. We out. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for watching. I already plugged everything already, so we don't have to do that again. But y'all know, leave a thumbs up, like, comment, share, interact with us, do all that kind of good stuff. We are still on the road to 1,000 subscribers. I think we are at 714. So we need to get to 1,000 ASAP on YouTube. But check us out all over the place. Y'all know where we are. That's Freaking Wrestling on YouTube. We are on That's FNW on Twitter. That's FNW on Instagram. And that is about it. We will be back next week to hopefully talk about, man, that is what we've been waiting for, John Cena. Mr. Cena, that is what we've been waiting for. It's for you to give us that moment to get us excited for what you're going to do in 2 weeks against Cody Rhodes. Poor Cody. Cody out here for 3 years in a row now, selling this shit by himself. First 2 years because Roman was chilling at home. This year, Cena's there, but he ain't there. God bless Cody Rhodes. We appreciate you. We out, y'all. See you next week.